underwritten law, the state health officer has free run to, you know, order you to get tested by a doctor, can order you to take a treatment. Further, the state health officer is further authorized to use law enforcement to carry out that mandate. Not only are you ordered to be treated, but, you know, a law enforcement officer may show up and force you to do that.
Welcome to Conversations That Matter, everybody. I'm Alex Newman, your host here at the New American Magazine. We have a very special guest for you today. His name is Sean McBride. He's a corporate business attorney. He's also the president of the American Freedom Information Institute. He is very active in the freedom movement here in Florida, whether on legal issues, constitutional issues, also health freedom. He's licensed to practice law in 13 American states, as well as Washington, D.C., a big advocate for personal freedom, for individual liberty. And he has really done a lot of research into Florida law, U.S. Supreme Court decisions, and other things involving mandatory vaccines and medical freedom. In fact, he has been working hard here in the state of Florida to get mandatory vaccine language out of our statutes. Maybe we'll have a chance to talk about a little bit of that as well. Sean, welcome to the program. And I know one of the things on your mind is the federal government snooping around people's concealed carry information. There's millions of gun owners here in Florida, huge numbers of concealed carry permit holders. Is our information safe from the federal government?
The short answer is probably not. One of our followers, the American Freedom of Information Institute, sent a note in and said, hey, what would happen under Florida law if somebody from the FBI started asking for our gun records, similar to what's happening in Missouri? Would we be safe? And so not really an issue I had looked in deeply before. So I went and looked, and I went to Florida Statute 790.0601. That's in Chapter 790. Chapter 790 deals a lot with the firearms, the background searches, you know, all the stuff about when can you get a firearm. And it talks about public records exemptions for concealed weapons. So starts out really good. And it says somebody that applied for a concealed weapons permit, their information should be held confidential. And it says that whether they applied through the Department of Agriculture or through their tax office, right? So depending on which county you are in Florida, you might apply through your tax office, you might apply through the Department of Agriculture. But then subsection 3 has an exemption. And it says, information made confidential and exempt by this section shall be disclosed. And then it says, upon request by a law enforcement agency in connection with the performance of lawful duties. And if you go look at the definition of law enforcement in the statute, there's a different section, and that picks up both federal and state agencies. So essentially, Florida law says if a law enforcement agency is asking in connection with the performance of lawful duties, the state has an obligation under law to give them to that law enforcement agency.
So in Missouri, we saw the state government there say, basically go pound sand. We're not giving you this information. But you don't think that would happen in Florida, huh? We've got a Democrat agriculture commissioner. For some reason, the agriculture department handles our concealed carry permits. And you think Nikki Fried, who likes to call our governor a Nazi and compare him to Hitler, you think she would just hand all that data right over to the Biden administration, huh?
Well, if people remember, I mean, there was a point in time where she was slow to issue gun permits when we got into the pandemic, right? It was like she was really finding a reason to slow that down. So she doesn't seem like she's been the agent that's been like, hey, let's make sure everybody has their right to carry. Let's make sure everybody gets, you know, their full ability to exercise their constitutional rights. So we have that concern. And then also, if we look at the Missouri law, and if you look at that AG letter from Missouri, he cites the law, and Missouri law is really worded differently than Florida law based on the AG letter. The Missouri law says don't give these access to these records. And the AG went a step further and said, hey, I was in the Missouri Senate when this passed, and we didn't want you federal government having access to our records. So really, they have the opposite law of Florida and Missouri. For whatever reason, Missouri went back and tightened up their laws during the Obama administration to prevent these types of access. Florida never went back and addressed their law. So here we are sitting with a law that probably does what a lot of people in Florida wouldn't like it to do.
Yeah. You know, to me, that just sounds like another reason why the legislature needs to get busy passing constitutional carry. Half of our states in the United States now have constitutional carry, and that way the government doesn't have any of these records to give. But how serious of a problem is this? I mean, I know the federal government is prohibited by law from creating a national database of gun owners, but I was talking to Larry Pratt, former CEO, founder of Gun Owners of America. And he said that this was years ago. He said the ATF was going around and scanning all these gun dealerships forms and compiling all this totally lawlessly, totally illegally. Do you think the Biden administration is compiling this information? And if so, for what purpose?
Well, we know what we saw here in Missouri, right? We not only have the Missouri AG's letter, but we also have news reports on the FBI response. And the FBI response is like, hey, what's the big deal? This is routine. We asked you for these same records back in 2018 and in other times, right? So to the FBI, you know, looking through state records apparently is just normal course of business, something they do. And then also we have what we saw in Delaware, that Ring doorbell camera with that gentleman, where the state police and the FBI showed up and said, hey, we understand you bought, I think it was 7 guns in the last, you know, whatever period of time. Can we see the guns? Do you still have them? Did you sell them to somebody else? So FBI may not have a database, but if they've got easy access to state databases, you know, it's always nice to have your copy of information, but if you can just go in and query the state database anytime you want, you really don't even need your own database.
So this could be, I mean, in theory, at least in the wrong hands, it could be a backdoor way of creating a national gun registry, which Congress has repeatedly said is not allowed, huh?
Yeah, well, this is getting to who has a concealed carry permit, right? So, yeah, I mean, that pretty much gives you, there's probably a pretty high correlation. I'm sure there's some people that have a concealed carry permit and don't have a gun. They're actually, some legal experts have said there's even reasons to have that, even if you don't have a gun. But you've got to imagine most people that have a concealed carry permit have gone the next step and they have a gun, right? So you can easily sort the Florida population into gun owners and non-gun owners pretty close, just by seeing who has concealed carry and who doesn't. So yeah, it's almost a gun owner database.
Yeah, that's frightening. And you know, maybe Biden won't do it, but at some point, we know that gun registration and creating these types of lists have always preceded gun confiscation, because how are you going to confiscate guns if you don't know who has them? Sean, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about something else. You know, Florida has been regarded as this kind of utopia of freedom, because our governor resisted some of the worst excesses that other governors put in place when it came to the COVID pandemic. But we have some really problematic language in our statutes as well. I know you've worked, you and I have talked about this before, you've worked on trying to get some of this language removed from our statutes that would purport to allow at least state health officials to forcibly treat and inject people. Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us if you are still concerned and why we should be concerned.
I do remain concerned. It's something we spent a lot of time on. This statute in particular, we're going to get into here in just a second, is one of the main focuses we spent a lot of time on at the American Freedom Information Institute. It's Florida Statute 381, which is the public health law. And there's two subsections which are particularly problematic, 381.00315 and 381.003. If you dive into 381.00315, it talks about what happens in a public health emergency. Public health emergency can be declared by the state health officer without consulting anybody else. And for 60 days, he gets emergency powers, he or she, but he in our current environment, he gets emergency powers for 60 days. After 60 days, all he needs to do is get the governor to agree to continue his emergency powers. So one or two people can invoke these provisions. Once invoked in this public health emergency, the state health officer has the ability to order isolation, quarantine, examination, testing, and treatment for communicable diseases. And so basically at that point, it's his game, right? He has control of your health. And the Florida law doesn't have any direct due process provisions built into it. Basically, according to the written law, and it's subject to constitutional challenge, we don't know what a court would do, but under written law, the state health officer has free run to, you know, order you to get tested by a doctor, can order you to take a treatment. Further, the state health officer is further authorized to use law enforcement to carry out that mandate. So when the state health officer says, hey, I want that person treated, they also get power over the state or law enforcement officers within Florida to order them to carry out that treatment. So, you know, you kind of have a double whammy. Not are you ordered to be treated, but, you know, a law enforcement officer may show up and force you to do that. If the law enforcement officer objects, another provision says that the state health officer can go to court and force the law enforcement officer to help you, help them carry out this treatment against your will. And then Florida statute 381.003, which was not amended. So 381.003.15 was amended in November of 2021 by a special session to remove the word vaccine. So arguably under that section, the state can't force you to take a vaccine against your will.
Unless they call it a treatment.
Yeah, they call it treatment, right? And that, and there is a question right now, obviously, you know, a lot of many doctors have come out and said, hey, is this, you know, current vaccine, is it a vaccine or is it more like a genetic therapy, right? So as the scientific wording and consensus changes, we redefine words. Could what's currently defined as a vaccine be defined as a treatment in the future? And then you're forced to take it under Florida statute 381.003.15. Meanwhile, Florida statute 381.003 was not addressed. It gives general power for the state health officer to plan and deal with potential public health emergencies. And there's a judge's guide from 2019 where the judges said the state could force people to take a vaccine under two different provisions, 381.003.15 or 381.003. So at least in the minds of the judges that wrote that guide in 2019, they believe the state has the authority to force folks to take a vaccine under a code provision that the legislature has not addressed, has not corrected.
Wow, that's honestly a little bit frightening, Sean, especially with this perception that Florida is kind of leading the way for medical freedom. I know you were involved in trying to get some of this language removed, trying to get some of this corrected. And you heard, unfortunately, from some of our illustrious state legislators that, well, there's just no appetite to do it this time around. Maybe we'll work on it next year.
Yes.
So is this going to be worked on next year? And I want to ask you another related question. You know, where does Ron DeSantis fit in? I know there was a time when all over the country, people were really upset. Oh, he's not who he says he is. He signed this bill. He also signed this one that I guess gives immunity to hospitals as long as they follow Dr. Fauci's insane COVID protocols, but not if they do what the patients and what the families want. What's going on here? Are we being misinformed?
Well, you know, I tell people your medical freedom hangs on Governor DeSantis staying in office, right? Because he has not done much to scale back the state power. And that's just being very objective, looking at what's happening. These amendments to 381.003.15, he signed it twice. They twice amended this law that allows for forced treatments, and they never got the language about forced treatments out. They never added due process considerations. So twice he's signed bills that have these problematic provisions. That's just the facts. But these laws are sitting there and they're largely sitting dormant because he's not using them. Now, the concern, of course, and the legislature says, well, don't worry about it. We're not using it. What's the big deal? The problem is they're sitting there waiting for somebody else to grab the reins and say, oh, yeah, well, look, we got this authority to force people to take treatments against their will. And, you know, for the innocent folks out there saying, well, maybe it's just sitting on the books. The state doesn't know they have this authority. They'll never use this authority. There was an airport traveler form that was used for people that were coming to from hotspots to Florida back in the 2020 when the COVID thing was just getting, you know, hot and everybody was worried. State of Florida was taking people as they were coming off the airplane, making them fill out a form. Where are you staying? Who's in your party? How long are you staying in Florida? And they made these people sign it. At the bottom, it said the state of Florida has the authority to force you to be examined, tested, treated, isolated, quarantined. And back then it still had the word vaccine in it, but they actually had people signing this. So the state of Florida is very aware that they have this authority. The fact that they're not using it in the case of, you know, COVID prevention just makes us wonder, you know, why is it sitting there dormant and why are they so adamant about keeping this power?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm very concerned, even if you believe Ron DeSantis is exactly who he says he is. And, you know, I've heard nothing but good things from people. Know him, used to be my congressman. He got better and better as the years went on. People need to recognize he was only a few thousand votes away from losing to Andrew Gillum. This absolute radical left winger. We would have been just like Chicago, just like California, would have been the same thing here in Florida. Sean, we've got a couple minutes left before we let you go. What should Floridians and honestly people around the country, what should they be doing in terms of trying to scale back these powers that are in the statute book so that, like, what we saw over the last 2 years with COVID never happens again?
Yeah, well, I think the big thing is to force awareness of this. And that's one of the things our organization advocates is the constant awareness. Media obviously doesn't like to question state authority. We're in kind of a period where the media is very aligned with a lot of state power and, you know, let's trust the government. The government's going to fix it all. I think we see a growing group of citizens that are questioning that, really. Is the government the answer? Do they have all the answers? Do they even make the right decisions? You know, are these systems so big and so bloated and so out of touch that they don't make the right decisions? We as citizens need to remain involved in getting out there and saying, hey, we don't like this law. We don't trust the state to have this power. You know, Mr. or Mrs. Representative, why don't we fix the statute? I know it's sitting there. I know you think it's dormant and not being used, but wouldn't now be a great time to add due process considerations, put the burden of proof on a state to prove that you need to take this treatment for public health, you know, give you the right to go talk to a judge and say, hey, I don't want to take that treatment against my will. You know, that would be a great time, given this concern over the potential abuse of this power, to fix these things. And that's what we as citizens need to be doing, is finding our ways to keep these issues in front of these folks and find ways that they can't ignore them, right? They can't just keep kicking the can and ignoring it, because these things are ticking time bombs waiting to go off at the wrong time.
Yeah. And I know here in our local area, people are very concerned about these things. They're very upset about these things. They've been communicating with their lawmakers about these things, but their lawmakers, unfortunately, are on the payroll of the big pharmaceutical companies. I mean, max donations from all the big pharma giants. It truly seems like nothing will change until people just outright demand it. Sean, before we let you go, what's the best way to follow your work? What's the website? Can people follow you on social media?
Yeah, you can find us at amfreedomii.com. There's a little basic information about our organization there. You can get on our email list, which is a great way to keep in touch. We also have a YouTube channel for as long as YouTube will keep us. We try to stay within the bounds of what YouTube allows and what they don't allow, with some success so far. You can go check us out there. We also have a Rumble channel as well. So look for American Freedom Information Institute. We're always educating people and trying to help people keep up with these issues and get in front of them before they become problems.
Excellent. Well, Sean McBride, thank you very much. President of the American Freedom Information Institute, practicing attorney. We appreciate your time. Thank you for sharing your insight with us, and we'll get you back on soon. All right, folks, that was Sean McBride. Go check out the website. I'm Alex Newman. This is the Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Until next time, God bless you all.